For our scripture reading this evening, I'd like for us to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We have several scriptures we'd like to read. Sometimes along the way to glory, we like to use the word reminisce and think about things in the past, things in the present, and things in the future. They're all bound up in this wonderful relationship we have with the Lord. So let's read first. I'd like to read just one verse, two verses in Philippians. This is in chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says, verse 19, I know that this shall return to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I think that verse seems so appropriate in that we're on a journey as believers in the Lord Jesus. It's a journey that God has well marked out as being very important, part of a plan. What was accomplished by our Lord Jesus? In a sense, the Spirit of God that came into the world to indwell and fill believers sends us out on a mission across the face of the earth to make known what God has done, and done wonderfully. It wasn't our idea. It wasn't man's idea to have such a plan. This plan came from the heart of God. Strange to say, man could not do what God has planned. What God has planned and purposed is for the glory of God. And the chief end of man is to glorify God. I believe that. In Ephesians chapter 2, these first 10 verses of chapter 2, I think, will provide us with what we need to make these comments. And you he hath made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this wonderful salvation that You have given to us. We are the redeemed ones. We are a company of those that have responded to the divine call. We have accepted this wonderful plan that the Spirit of God has used to enrich our lives and fill our hearts with true joy and peace and happiness in this life. We live in a world that is alienated from Thee. We live in a world that is filled with so much that goes contrary to the mind and the will of God. Lord, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We've been saved by the grace of God to walk in the pathway of righteousness for Your name's sake. Help us to carry that out in a way that is honoring to Thee, O God, and Your beloved Son. It's in His precious name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Well, as I said, God had this plan for you and for me. And lest we think that perhaps it was an afterthought, one of my favorite passages is found in Psalms, which is one of my favorite places of reading. I was asked last week by a brother, what have you been reading? Well, I can't leave the Psalms. No matter what else I read, it seems like the Psalms keep coming back. But in Psalm 139, we have these words in verse 14. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hidden from Thee when I was made in secret and intricately wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them. You know, when I think about that, and I said at the outset, this is a divine plan. And it doesn't have the mark of man upon it. It is divine. It is glorious. It bears the marks of God upon it. The thoughts and plans and purposes of God are so different. They run so contrary to what you have in the heart and the mind of mankind. And to me, that indeed is a thrilling thing to think about, in that we have been drawn in to this plan. We've been challenged. We've been invited to come, and so we have. And we're not regretting it. We are responding in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord for what He has done for us. And I think one of the things that sometimes startles you the first time you hear it, He did this even before we were born. And my reading there in Psalm 139, it gives you that consciousness of God being omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. Our all-powerful God doesn't keep us in the dark as regards what He does and how He does it. And we begin to examine it and we realize, I couldn't have done that. Apart from the enabling grace of God and His mercy, this couldn't have taken place. Where would we have been without Him? The first man, Adam, was a perfect man. Everything that God ever created was perfect. He hasn't created any flawed things. Adam was a perfect man. Eve was a perfect woman. One act of disobedience to the will of God brought mankind into a whole different relationship with God. Now man is alienated from God because of his disobedience, and he has the mark and curse of sin upon him. He has sinned. He's taken very lightly what God has warned him not to do. Sad to say, we've been doing it ever since. We still do it, even though we know that it carries with it the judgment of God. Oh, yes. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who thinks that he can live his life carelessly, without any attention to what God has said in his word, he's made a very foolish mistake. Sin carries with it payment. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Poor sinners that have no power over sin in their lives, the penalty of their sin has been paid for, but they haven't accepted the value of it. So they live in a different world than the one we live in. They live in the world we have lived in that world, but now we are new creations in Christ Jesus. And the old things have passed away, and now we are truly new creations. But as you begin to think about this, God planned in the beginning to correct even what was going to go wrong. If you go back to the very first chapter of Ephesians, you read, "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Now, it's no afterthought. That's the point. Sometimes, you know, as we go along in life and we learn things and we change our opinions about things, we develop new thought patterns regarding how we deal with certain things. That's a part of our humanity. God never changes his mind. Everything that he has ever brought into being is perfect. Every thought that he has ever had, every plan, every purpose he ever had was perfect. This great salvation that we have and rejoice in tonight, God's plan, it was planned before the foundations of the world were laid. God knew. God knew all about what was going to happen. The Lord Jesus Christ knew what was going to happen. There's only one thing he didn't know about, and that was what it would be like to be forsaken as a father. He didn't know what that would be like because he had never been forsaken. He'd never had that experience. Little wonder you hear that cry coming forth from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? The sinless one that has stepped in the breach to heal what Adam has created by his disobedience. He died. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the picture, the one, the true, the living God, manifest in flesh, and he takes the place upon a cross and makes payment as the Lamb of God, the one sacrifice that could take away the penalty of our sin. That when you put all that together, you realize it's God acting. It's God acting. It's God acting in Him asking man to respond. And isn't it wonderful that as we sit here this evening as believers, that we're able to comprehend that in some measure. We can take in, we can rejoice in what God has done for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, when he writes about this matter of salvation, he writes from a personal experience. This very religious man, this man that knew what it meant to be more than just a religious person, the Pharisee of the Pharisees, a man at the top of the pile, if you want to say that, put it that way. He was at the top as a leader among God's people, the Jews, and the Jews' religion. But what took place in his life, again, you look at it, you examine what took place in the life of the Apostle Paul, and you look with wonder and amazement. What a glorious change took place. This enemy of the cross, this one that hated the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is humbled and brought to the feet, bowed before the Son of God, and saying, "What would you have me to do, Lord?" Now that is indeed a miracle in itself. I like to think about every conversion as a miracle. It is. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were made alive through the death of the Son of God, who not only died and was buried, but was resurrected. That's the gospel. He died, He buried, He was raised again from the dead through this glorious, glorious experience of the Son of God, of being forsaken of God for our sin. We find ourselves now new creations in Christ Jesus. God has started this divine plan working. It started when His Son hung upon a cross and died under the penalty of our sin. We've been the recipients of God's love and God's grace. How do you measure the love of God? It's immeasurable. It's limitless. We can't comprehend what grace, divine grace and mercy. This passage tells us that He is rich in mercy. And it's something that's beyond, again, comprehension. Can't take it in. But here we are. We are a part of this. We're a part of this. Does that sometime kind of grip you when you're all alone and when you're meditating and thinking about the things of God and the Spirit of God has you captivated by what you're reading, and you begin to think about how wonderful it is that I know God. I know Him. Thank God He knew me a long time before I knew Him. He knew me while I was yet being formed and brought into being. But sometime along the way, we get to know Him. I know Him. I know He is wonderful. We listen to testimonies of people that are saved by the grace of God. And sometimes they give stirring testimonies. Some of them tell of a life and a lifestyle that is something that is filled with shame. And you know that sin and the God of this world has had His hand in that life. But God fixed it so His plans, Satan's plan and His power of the blinding the minds of poor lost sinners can be broken, can be conquered, and they can be taken out, delivered out of this horrible state. The Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You want some of this? You want to know God? You must be born again. You haven't been born again? You'll never know what this is all about. It will sound strange to you. You will not find yourself being aroused and excited spiritually when you hear things coming forth by the Spirit of God from this Word into your heart and soul and mind. You won't experience that. It doesn't have that power over you. You're still under another power. You're being controlled by one that hates you. And so, as we read, our state before God in this world is described by Paul, dead in trespasses and sins. I don't know, but sometimes I think it does good to review your life, what it was like. Many people have been saved when they were youngsters, just children. Their lives were never lived on that level of being in the world and being controlled by the God of this world. And believe me, He does control those that He calls His own. He blinds the minds of those who will not believe the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, lest the light should shine in. Doesn't want them to be enlightened. But here we are. We have had our eyes open. We've had a moment in time in our experience when we could say, the light came on. The darkness was dispelled. And suddenly, it may seem like a process, but it's really suddenly, I believe, a moment of time, person says, I believe. If I confess with my mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in my heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved by the grace of God. In a moment of time, such a wonderful change took place. And it's a change that is eternal. It has value to it. It has the mark of God upon it. What God says about these things is so solid and so true and borne out, not only from what we read in the Word of God, but in the lives of His people. It is borne out. It is lived out. Men have, and women have been burnt at a stake for their faith in God. Man, it's real. Many of God's people have suffered and suffered a lot because of their faith. Around the world today, hatred and bitterness toward those that name the name of Christ. Even in this land we live in today, you can talk about your religion and what your religion stands for and so forth and so on. But you start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't He the one that seems to excite their emotions and stir them up and cause them to say, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. The deity of the Son of God is something that it just grips the souls and minds of people. And Satan, having darkened those minds, they won't believe it. They don't accept that. But He is a living, glorified Savior. God was manifest in flesh. He walked among us. He performed miracles. He ministered to people. He raised the dead. He healed the sick and the wounded in heart. And he brought hope to those that were living hopeless lives. And that's what this passage in Ephesians begins to mean to you. And since I know that this group of people that are gathered here this evening, most of us are, and I say all of us, Jewish, not Jewish, but Gentile, we're reminded in the 11th verse, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Have you ever sat down and thought about what it was like, just reflecting upon what was my life like before I knew the Lord? Oh, I don't want to go back to that. I've been delivered. I've never had a desire to go back. I don't think any of God's truly born-again people ever have a desire to go back to the old way, even though the pleasures of sin are for a season. And sin is pleasurable. And there are many compromises made in life. Yet poor Gentiles, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I know Him. I know Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know Him. He knows me. And this new life that I have in Christ is something that's worth each one of us giving our very best. I'll close with this. I do believe, and I was just reading this afternoon, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Paul would say, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. These bodies. What we have now. What we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And what we did with these bodies while we were living here upon the earth. After all, the Spirit of God is living in us. We have the power to live for the glory of God. What are we living for? We'll be tested. We'll be given rewards for the right kind of living. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is holy and acceptable unto God. Do not be conformed to the ways of this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have a renewed mind. You have something the world doesn't have. You have discernment of the things of God. You know God. You know what God wants. I hope we do. I hope if we are not sure about what God wants us to do, we'll get busy and find out. It's not His will that any should perish. We passed that test. But there are a lot of other things we can do as well. We can present our bodies a living sacrifice. And we can refuse to accommodate the world and live the lifestyle of the world and be acceptable to the world. It's a wonderful experience being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should rejoice in it every day.